Welcome to the first episode of the PFF College Football Show. I'm your host, Max Chavik, alongside my co-host, Dalton Wasserman. We've got producer Eli back there in the studio. Dalton, no longer PWO, no longer preferred walk-on, a name that we both love. Now the official PFF College Football Show. So basically like the little brother of the Sam and Steve PFF NFL show, man. So I'm kind of excited, man, to get into this new era with you.
Hey, a rebrand with the same faces. We'll make it work, I'm sure. We just gotta get used to the script at the beginning. Especially on your side, it's probably a little harder for you than me, to be honest.
Yeah, it's definitely a lot harder. I almost started with Welcome to Preferred Walk-On. We had to start over again. But yeah, I'm happy with this rebrand. It's cool to be officially branded. I think it'll help us, you know, with people knowing that it's a PFF college football show and not just, you know, a show called Preferred Walk-On. So I think it's gonna be great. So we're gonna start off with a pretty huge episode, which is our mock draft post-combine edition. We were both at the NFL scouting combine along with Eli in Indianapolis. We're hearing some things from a lot of people. So this is actually a mock draft of not what we think that we would do. It's going to be what we think will happen ultimately in the NFL draft. Still no trades. We're still not doing trades in this yet. There obviously will be trades on draft night. We will do a mock draft with trades eventually. This is still a no trades mock draft, but it is what we think the 32 teams, where they are right now, what they would do if they were picking there. So let's bring up the PFF mock draft simulator right now. All right, so we're going to switch it up this time. Last time I had the odds picks and Dalton had the even. So now, Dalton, you are officially on the clock here with the Chicago Bears via the Carolina Panthers. So again, remember, this is what you think they will do, not what you would do. But I am going to make you give your answer on what you would do, too, because I know you have some hot takes with this number one overall pick.
Yeah, I think these top three quarterbacks are a lot closer than people think. I know the general assumption is that it's Caleb and then everybody else. Now, all the tea leaves tell us that they're going to take Caleb Williams. So I think we can just slot it in for this predictive one now and just kind of make the solid prediction. I would say this, what do you think? At least an 80% chance of taking Caleb Williams with this pick. Me personally, I would at least certainly go through the process and that due diligence, because I'm wicked high on Jaden Daniels to the point where I would really seriously consider him first. And maybe even, you know, you've heard my crazy theory before about maybe maneuvering from 9 to try to combo him with Malik Nabers and keep them together. But for now, I say we stick with Caleb. I for me, this process would go down to the wire because I think the top three guys are all terrific players. And with the right plan, you could win a lot with any of them. We'll go with Caleb. There would be some thought for me, though, about Jaden Daniels at 1.
Okay. So you personally have Jaden above Drake May on your big board right now.
Yeah, I would go there. I think his mobility is a big difference. His feet are special. He's not just mobile. He's got special feet. Now, I was watching more of his tape the other day. He is very decisive when it comes to running, whereas Caleb is very much more like a scrambler and extending plays and really getting at times sideline to sideline. Jaden Daniels gets north and south, and most of the time when he runs, it's because just boom, nobody's open. And if nobody's open, I'm getting north and south. I'm getting a first down myself. Obviously needs to learn to slide more in that process. We've been over that. But his feet are absolutely special. And I don't think it's – I think he's got – honestly, by far the best feet in this class of any quarterback.
I agree with that. So, okay, so you kind of gave me a non-answer there of, okay, I would think about Jaden Daniels. Would you ultimately take Daniels if you were Ryan Poles there, or would you stick with Caleb Williams?
I think I would try. I would, if I'm Ryan Poles and I'm the Bears might be the one team I do this with. I would try to get Daniels and Nabers. I would try to maneuver from 9 to keep them together. And I'm walking into next year with Jaden Daniels, Malik Nabers, and DJ Moore. Yeah.
Oh, I hate that. I don't like that at all. I would take Caleb and not even think twice about it. All right, number 2, I got the Commanders here. I think first of all, what I would do is I'll take Drake May here. I also think they're going to take Drake May ultimately. Now, I do think it's a huge conversation, with Jaden Daniels, and I think Cliff Kingsbury, there's some aspects of his offense I think would fit Jaden Daniels, but I don't know, man. I think Drake May has kind of emerged as kind of a clear QB2 for a lot of people. That's kind of what I heard a lot at the combine. I think Drake May is ultimately going to be the pick here, but I'm like 60-40 Drake May, Jaden Daniels right now as to what I think the Commanders will do. But as of right now, I probably go with Drake May as what I think the Washington Commanders will ultimately do in the draft. I do also think, we're not doing trades here, I do think the Commanders are going to make a serious push to get to number 1 with the Bears. I think we've heard some talk that Caleb Williams he's open to playing Chicago. It's not like he's going to pull an Eli Manning and not play there. But I've heard some talks about him wanting to play in Washington. He's been in contact with Cliff Kingsbury apparently a little bit too. I think he wants to play in his hometown. Washington's got some good receivers there too, like Chicago does. But I don't know. I think Washington might make a play and try to get up to number one. They're gonna make the Bears say no, I think is what's going to happen. I think they're going to offer the second pick, maybe the 40th overall pick, which used to be the Bears' pick in the Montez Sweat trade. And I even think they might offer the 2025 first-round pick, all to move up one spot in the draft. So I think they'll make the Bears say no. But as of right now, we're not doing trades. I think Washington would take Drake May here in this draft.
If I was offered that pick and I'm the Bears, the 40th pick and a first rounder next year, I think it's a no-brainer. I would take it. I would absolutely take it and just take Jaden second. I think to get the best of both worlds there, I would absolutely do that if I'm the Bears, if I was offered that trade.
Yeah, I wouldn't, though. I wouldn't. I would take Caleb Williams still. I think it's such a big gap.
I feel you. There's a lot. There's a lot to nitpick with these three guys. And even May over Daniels, it's like you're nitpicking, man. Because May's got an absolute bazooka. He can make every throw on the field. I get it. And honestly, that Washington situation is not the worst one you could be. And they have some weapons to work with.
Yeah, absolutely. I find the Bears, I would stick at one. I don't think I would trade out of the spot. But that's probably the offer they're going to get. I'm sure the Bears will probably want to stay within striking range of one of these top three quarterbacks. But on the Bears, I think I'm going to stick at one no matter what trade is offered my way.
I feel you. All right, so striking distance is still here at the third pick. I think the Patriots have to take a quarterback. I wouldn't trade out of this spot. I wouldn't take Marvin Harrison. They've got almost $90 million in cap space to work with. Go fill out this offense with useful pieces, maybe even something like a Calvin Ridley. And just, you know, they just need speed all around the offense. But I think it's a home run pick here. Jaden Daniels, any of the three, honestly, would be a home run for New England. They just have to. They just need talent at quarterback. No matter if it was Drake May, I would take May here. If for any weird reason Caleb dropped a three, it'd be a home run too. I think just picking in the top three spots here, it has to be a quarterback. And New England needs it so badly. They need a centerpiece with a new regime. And I'd be cool with any of them. Jaden's on the board here. That's what I have to go with for the Patriots.
Yeah, so you think they're going to do that too? I know that's what you would do, and it's what I would do probably too, but you think they're going to do that?
I would assume so. I just don't see any alternative. I mean, there's been whispers of them looking at Baker Mayfield. I don't see him leaving Tampa. No. And even then, do they really want to like start over with, what is it, 29 or 30-year-old Baker Mayfield in that situation? They need everything on offense, but to get a young centerpiece and to be able to spend the money and build around them, I just think that it's the best move they can make.
Yeah, I also like to, with Mike Evans already staying in Tampa Bay, I think there's no way Baker leaves now. I think he's staying in Tampa Bay. So, they just made the divisional round of the playoffs last year, honestly. So I would be shocked if he left Tampa Bay for what honestly might be the worst situation to walk into as a quarterback in New England. I mean, they're hurting right now, which is why I think they're going to think about trading out of it to just acquire more picks and build up the offense. Because I think, man, I'm kind of worried for Jaden Daniels or whoever they get at quarterback if they walk into there, because I mean, it's a bad situation right now. But yeah, I'm with you. I think they do stick there and take a quarterback, but I don't know. I think they could also take Harrison at three. I think they could trade out of the pick too. I think New England, the draft really starts at three in my opinion, because I don't see Chicago and Washington trading out of the picks unless it's with each other. I think at three is where the draft really gets interesting. So, I have no idea what New England's going to do, but as of right now, I think Jaden Daniels is a pretty safe bet for that number three pick. All right, number four, I think this is pretty easy, too. I think this is Marvin Harrison Jr. Going to the Cardinals. Marquise Brown's a free agent. They might not bring him back. They clearly need to get some pass. Even if they brought Marquise Brown back, they still need pass catchers in that offense for Kyler Murray. And you get a generational wide receiver prospect in Marvin Harrison Jr. here. I think that you run this pick in. Don't even think twice about it, honestly. Even if you get an offer, maybe you listen to an offer. If somebody wants to get up and get JJ McCarthy, another quarterback, maybe you'll listen to that offer. But, I mean, I think this is a perfect marriage of, listen, he's the best player on the board, and he fits a massive need. I think this is a home run pick for the Cardinals, and I think this is actually what probably will happen, honestly, with the fourth overall pick.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. A number one receiver. I think at this point, Marquise Brown is thought of maybe more as a two, maybe a high-end two with a lot of speed. But no, I think it's a good base to start with when you think about Kyler Murray, James Conner in the running game. Then you have Marvin Harrison, Trey McBride, Paris Johnson at tackle. That's not the worst-looking offense in football. And honestly, when Kyler Murray got back last year, they did not look at all like the worst offense in football. But a number one receiver in there that feels – almost guaranteed to be a number one receiver. That's a home run pick for sure. I think it might, like you said, it might be the easiest pick on this entire board. For me, the next one of the harder picks on this entire board, the more I think about it, is this Chargers pick at five. There's a lot of directions they could go. I think we'll learn a lot more about them if we get, once we get into them clearing some salary cap, making some cuts. I think last time, did we go with Brock Bowers on the last draft?
That was what we would do. Yeah, I took Brock Bowers. I don't think they're going to do it, but that's what I would do.
I think I would still consider it heavily. I really would. I'm gonna take the angle that maybe they're cutting a Mike Williams, maybe Keenan Allen's going, depending on the salary. There's been a lot of talk about Mike Williams and the salary cap clearing with him and coming off the injury and all of that. Let's say they do that. I'm gonna switch it up almost for the sake of doing it. There's a lot of ways. The Chargers need a lot of stuff and they have no cap room to fix it otherwise. I'm gonna go with Malik Nabers here. With the idea that Harbaugh maybe just wants that guy right now on the outside for Justin Herbert to work with, and possibly in the event that Mike Williams might be the one to go from that receiving corps.
Do you think, so obviously we're not doing trades here, do you think Harbaugh, and the kind of a conspiracy theory here, Harbaugh traded out of the pick to a team that needs a quarterback to kind of push his boy J.J. McCarthy as high as possible and make him a top five pick? Do you think that's a possibility here?
I think it's a possibility. I don't think he's doing it with directly that purpose.
No, of course not. I'm just making a joke. Like, oh, he's, you know, getting his boy up there.
Yeah, I mean, but I think it's, I mean, think about it. To me, I think this is the first really good trade down spot. When I look at Minnesota 11, Denver 12, look, if they want Brock Bowers, there's a lot of thought that they could still get him at 11, 12, 13, they too. Could. That would be a home run. If they traded down to somewhere in that range in the low teens and they got Brock Bowers anyway and more draft capital, I think that's an A+.
Yeah, Atlanta at 8, 2. I mean, Vegas at 13. I mean, there are scenarios here where they can still get Brock Bowers. I think you're taking a risk when you're at 11, 12, 13 for Brock Bowers, but I think it's still possible. And I think if you go to Atlanta at 8, I think that's definitely possible to get Brock Bowers if you trade with Atlanta. So, yeah, I like that pick to Malik Nabers to the Chargers. I don't think they're taking Brock Bowers, even though that's probably what I would do. But, yeah, right here, the Giants at 6 now. This is also an interesting one. I think they're going to go one of two ways here. I think they're going to take a receiver or they're going to go with Joe Alt. Joe Alt has clearly been the number one tackle for everyone now. I think we were on this train to begin with, man. I think we should pat ourselves on the back. We were always like, dude, it's Joe Alt and there's everyone else. It's not even close. And I think everyone's starting to come around on that. Joe Alt had an unbelievable combine too. I remember there's some questions about him being an above average athlete. No. This guy's a world-class athlete at the offensive tackle position. He is clearly OT1 right now. But you look at the Giants, they have a franchise left tackle in Andrew Thomas. Evan Neal struggled a little bit so far in his career, but you also spent a top 10 pick on him too. I just don't know if they're going to go that way. What I would do probably for them is I would take Roma Dunze because they do need some. They need size at receiver, honestly. I think that's what they would do as well. I know Dave Gettleman loves the big guys in the trenches, but as of right now, I think they would go with Roma Dunze. That's probably the pick that I would make as well. So you got quarterbacks going 1, 2, 3, and receivers going 4, 5, 6 in this draft right now.
Yeah, I think, and I'll tell you what, I think a sneakier one is I think the Giants could think about Bowers here too, and I think with Brian Nabels used to work with a lot of tight. Darren Waller's, I believe, at least 30, if not 31 years old. He's always hurt. You know, a weapon is a weapon, and right now their offense is very conservative. Daniel Jones probably for one more year unless they feel like taking a quarterback here. I don't know if they would do that if one of the top three isn't on the board, but I think Brock Bowers is actually like a sneaky kind of like maybe they think about it. It's also a very good trade down spot, but I've got nothing against Odunze going here. They need a number one guy, and Odunze too tore up the combine.
He did. They need an X so badly, man. They have 8 different slot receivers that would be starting for a lot of NFL teams. They don't have like a true X receiver. I think Roma Dunze would be that guy for them.
Yeah, I agree with that. You mentioned Joe Alt. I think this next pick is pretty easy with the top three receivers on the board. The Titans, you know, I've mentioned it before, they just need foundational talent anywhere on the football field right now. If they can't get one of these receivers, I think they'll be in the receiver market and free agency. I think a guy like Gabe Davis even fits in with Will Levis' skill set, but you need to stabilize the protection up front, and Joe Alt, to me, is the easy pick here for Tennessee. Look, man, measured it 6'8.5", 315, 320, best tackle in the country. I think if Joe Alt's there to Tennessee and there's and these three receivers are gone, you could pretty much lock it in.
What do you run? He ran like a five.
I think he ran like a close to a five flat. He didn't crack it, but I think it was like 503 or something like that.
505. That's stupid, dude.
Yeah.
That's stupid.
That's 6'8 and 315, 320. Yeah. That's just ridiculous. And I think it was Daniel Jeremiah threw out a Colton Miller comp. That's actually brilliant. I love that. If you get a Colton Miller, like a caliber player at this pick, it's a home run.
He ran a 7.313 cone, which is in the 97th percentile for offensive tackles. A 4.51 shuttle, 94th percentile. 9'4" broad, 93rd percentile. Ultimately, I think, and Kentley Platt does an amazing job putting together these athletic scores. So he, you know, gives a score out of 10 and basically how you stack up against other players at your position from past years. Joe Alt tested out ultimately in the 99th percentile for offensive tackles in terms of the combine. So
he's the safest. Despite all the big names in front of him, he's the safest pick in this draft.
If you say if anyone's going to be an all-pro, like who would you pick first? I would say Joe Alt is like probably the guy I would say is him, Brock Bowers, like Marvin Harrison Jr. I think, but safest one, Joe Alt, because it's almost like Bowers and Harrison, maybe if they go to a bad situation, like it wouldn't work out too well. Alt's just like, dude, that's your franchise left tackle. As long as he doesn't get hurt, he's a absolute superstar, and I think honestly the best tackle we've seen in a long time, probably right behind Penei Sewell. But and he's gonna be a superstar. All right, Atlanta here at 8. This is where it gets tough, man. Because
this is the fun one right here.
There's not a trade. We're not trading, obviously, dude. Raheem Moore. All right, I'm gonna do something here, and you're not gonna love it. Raheem Morris of the combine was adamant that he was like, he's the one that said, hey, if we had a better quarterback, I wouldn't be here right now, right?
I'm gonna throw this in there, though. There's a lot of Kirk Cousins rumors swirling.
Oh, true.
A lot of them. There's a heavy Kirk Cousins rumor swirling right now.
Yes, good call. So we're going to do a post-free agency mock. So that we'll know then. I will operate under that assumption because I do know there's a lot of smoke for Kirk Cousins to Atlanta. So I'm going to operate under that assumption that they're going to get Kirk Cousins. I'm glad you caught that because I would have hated myself for not doing that. All right, so they're going to pass on quarterback. I was thinking about JJ McCarthy here at 8 because I do think he's going to go high in this draft. But if they're not going to do that, I think there's kind of three avenues you go here. I think you go either a receiver, an edge, or a corner. Man, this is tough.
I know what I would do.
What you would do, or what you think is going to happen? I think it's two.
I know what I would do here.
Okay.
If we're assuming Cousins is there, I know what I would do here.
I mean, the top three receivers are off the board. Give me a dude. Honestly, this guy is rocketing up big boards right now. I think it's going to be CB1 ultimately in the draft. As to where, I don't think I would take him CB1, but I think he's going to be taken that high. I think Quinyon Mitchell is going to be a top 10, top 15 pick.
We're getting Toledo into the top 10. That's a fun one.
I think, dude, he has had by far the best pre-draft process of maybe any prospect, period. He had a dominant Senior Bowl, unfreaking believable combo. He had a 4.340, and he put up 20 reps in the bench press, which is like, this guy's a freak. I think he's the first corner off the board. Atlanta needs a corner. I think. Do you like that scheme fit, though? Do you think he fits well in that defense for him?
Yeah, I do. I do. He plays. He played off a lot of cover three at Toledo. Raheem Morris uses a little more like open field two high looks, but yeah, a lot of the principles on the outside can be the same. And I think he's physical enough. If he's on the cover two side, if they're running a lot of six and things like that, to really get physical. I'm with you. I think Quinyon can do just about anything. I think it's a good fit, and I think to pair him up with AJ Terrell is going to be that's going to work. I think that's a nice pair of corners to be starting out with. I like that pick. It's a little bit gutsy because there's kind of some debate as to who's CB1, but I think that would fit in with Raheem's defense perfectly. Absolutely,
I think he will be the CB1 in the draft. I don't know if I would argue for him as CB1, but I think he will be the first corner because his last two years he's the highest graded corner in 2023, highest graded corner in 2022. Like I said, dominant Senior Bowl, was one of the best corners of the combine too. I mean, this guy is just murdering it in the pre-draft process. I want to, before we go to 9, what was your what would you have done there at 8 that you were?
It's actually the guy I'm about to pick at 9.
Okay.
So we'll just move ahead to it. The top three receivers are gone. I wouldn't reach for another one. There's some of the Bears' other needs. I could think about corner here, but I'm not going to do it. I like, for the sake of their defense, four-man front, not a lot of blitzing, just getting after it off the edge in a wide nine. Give me Jared Verse from Florida State here.
Okay, I like it.
I just think, like, this defense, like, four-man front, lining up pretty much at the same spot every play, and just it killed the combine. We saw his presser, absolutely killed his presser, loved it. Length, power, speed, ran, I believe, was at a 4.59 in the 40, which is just nuts at his size. He's got everything you could ask for in a wide nine defensive end. Him and Montez Sweat, I think, would terrorize people. Again, if Odunze or Neighbors were on the board here, I would heavily, heavily consider that. But let's think about maybe them getting deeper into this receiver class in the second and third round, maybe free agency as well. Maybe they look at somebody like Marquise Brown or Calvin Ridley. They got a ton of money to spend. But Jared Verse here, I think he might have been the pick for me for Atlanta at eight, and I think he's a perfect fit for the Bears at nine.
I don't hate that at all. I was considering an edge at eight. I just didn't know which one to take. It's a lot like the cornerback class too. It's like I just don't know which one's going first. But yeah, I think Jared Verse could definitely be the top edge off the board. I think he does fit Chicago's defense really well. All right, so you're New York Jets here at 10, Dalton. I'm going to do this. Is tough. All right, so what do you? Okay, we both know what we would do. We would take Olufashino, not think twice about it, right? Do you think that's what's going to happen though? Because it seems like he's falling down boards.
No, I don't necessarily think that's guaranteed. I think they're going to take a tackle. I don't know which one. I think this is another one where free agency's big. I think they should be heavy in on Tyron Smith from the Cowboys. Best pass protection grade in football last year, still at, I think, 32 years old, 33 years old. His window fits theirs. He's going to be kind of expensive. I would move mountains to get Tyron Smith, which then makes me think Joe Douglas would think about a right tackle like Fuaga or Latham. Look, I think a lot of these tackles it's kind of your flavor right now. Do you need a run blocker? Do you want a huge guy? Do you want an agile guy? Like, I would probably – if you go with that plan, though, and you're trying to win now, I get the appeal of Fuaga and Latham and the natural right tackles. Faotano had an unreal combine. He looked just insanely good on Sunday. It could be any of them, and I think free agency and the shuffle decides it a little bit. He even said if he's not satisfied with these tackles, he could put Barrett Tucker at right tackle and think about – filling in another spot. So I think Barrett Tucker gives him a lot of options too. He's got Joe Tippmann locked in at center, but it's going to be a tackle, and I think we're gonna have to wait and see until free agency about maybe which side, or like, do we know that Olu can play on the right side if that was a thing? Because you're not moving Tyron Smith. Tyron Smith's your blindside guy if you sign him. Free agency is gonna decide a lot. I would go with Fashanu as they're constructed right now. But there's a lot more that goes into that in the next couple weeks.
And we're going to do a post-free agency mock draft, too, when we have a lot of these answers to these questions right now. Like Atlanta at 8, we'll definitely know whether or not they're going to be in the quarterback market. I wanted to throw out this one, too. So if they do theoretically get Tyron Smith, and they do shore up that offensive line enough, what about Brock Bowers? They just cut CJ Uzomah yesterday. How do you like that for that kind of fit for the Jets? Would you be open to that?
It makes sense. Just kind of a movable piece that they don't have right now. They're sitting on Tyler Conklin, who's really like better off as a second guy, a move guy, and Jeremy Ruckert, who's a blocker. It makes sense if you're looking for a weapon. Or I think if they were looking receiver, if they felt good about their line, maybe trading down a few spots and getting into like Brian Thomas. Adonai Mitchell territory in there. There's some different ways they could go with it, but they would have to be really, really sure that their offensive line is like set
right
before the draft if they're going to think about doing something else.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Olufashinu here. I still think he should be the guy here at 10 who I would take as their roster is currently constructed. If they do shore up the tackles enough, I would take Brock Bowers and not think twice about it, because I think Brock Bowers is a special prospect that should not fall out of the top 10. But I just, it's tough finding a spot for a tight end here in the top 10, even though he's that special. It's just tough, man. So I'm going to go with Olufashinu. But if they get Tyron Smith, if they get Tyron Smith, I would probably take Brock Bowers. Even if they need a right tackle, I would still take Brock Bowers over Fuaga or anyone else. Because I love Brock Bowers. I think you can make an argument he's the best player in the draft, honestly. So I'm going to Olufashinu here at 10, but I am a little upset that we can't get Brock Bowers somewhere in the top 10 because I really do love him.
It's tough. It's real tough. And this now we get into after the Jets here, now we get into this big run of, I think, real mystery teams. And I'll tell you what, I mean, this the two of these next three teams, I think you could think about a Russell Wilson for $1 million. This one and the Chargers one, this Minnesota one, these are the hardest picks.
Can I tell you something that might influence your pick, though, that sure. we saw yesterday? J.J. McCarthy followed both Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison on Instagram yesterday, and I think they followed him back.
He mentioned at the combine that Minnesota was really, really hot on him.
Mm-hmm. I think that's what they're going to do. I know you as a J.J. McCarthy, not hater, but I know that you're lower on him. I think this is what they're going to do, though. If he's here, they're taking J.J., I think.
I think for the other three quarterbacks that we're talking about for some of these slots, I think Minnesota's the best one. They have good pass protection. That obviously Jefferson and Addison and Hockenson, they need to figure things out at running back, but in their system, that's not too hard to do. Man, that's a hard one. You know what? Based on what JJ himself said at the combine, I'm gonna go with it. He okay. might not be honestly my QB4. You know, I'm really, really high on Penix. I love Penix, right. But based on what we heard at the combine and this being the post combine mock, I'm gonna roll with you on that. And I do think O'Connell. And that system is that's a thing that McCarthy can succeed in. I would like to see them get better at running back, a little better on the interior offensive line to support, get the running game going. Because I don't want JJ carrying me right now.
Yeah.
But whichever quarterback has an opportunity to go there, it's entirely possible they could be in the rookie of the year conversation.
Absolutely. Yeah. I don't even think that pick was that hard. I think it was just hard for you to take JJ McCarthy top 15. I think that was why it was so hard for you.
Oh, no. I would honestly, I'm just being real. I would love Penix in that situation, too.
Yeah.
Penix with Jefferson and Addison and solid pass protection. I think either one of them would fit. I think O'Connell is one of the five best play callers in the league right now.
Yeah.
And I think any of them, you put Bo there, that's a spot where I've kind of like, felt like any of the guys in this draft could succeed.
So I'm here at the Broncos at 12. They're kind of in the same boat as the Vikings, where they do need a quarterback, and they just cut Russell Wilson, taking on the biggest dead cap in NFL history, $85 million in dead cap they got from that Russell Wilson release. So I don't think they're going to be in the market for a quarterback in free agency. Like, I don't think they're going to go out and try to get a guy like a Baker Mayfield or a Ryan Tannehill or someone like that. I don't think they're going to do that. I think they're very firmly in this sweepstakes, and I think JJ McCarthy is their guy. So I think they might try to make a move up. Again, we're not doing trades on this mock draft, but I think if anyone's going to move up, it might be the Denver Broncos. But if they're here at 12 and the top four quarterbacks are off the board, I still think they're going to quarterback here. So I'm kind of between Bo and Michael Penix Jr. right now as to who's going to go. Man, I've heard reports, Dalton, that Penix is back to being a first-round pick for a lot of NFL teams. Again, the throwing session should not influence teams at all, and I hate that it does, but people were apparently very impressed by it. So I'm thinking about Penix here, but, man, I don't know if Bo's going to go higher than him. This is tough. I'm going to take – oh, God. Who would you go with here? Because I'm in a pickle right now between these two. Now, who would you go with? Who do you think they're going
to
do?
Denver's a hard one. Sean Payton's hard to read. He's really hard to read with this because if he wants like West Coast like quick decision making and like kind of the way like late career Drew Brees did things,
it's like Bo Nix, right?
Probably Nix.
Yeah.
But if I think Penix has better arm talent and Penix, I was looking at some stuff the other day. He's the best quarterback in this draft out of all six of them at getting through his second and third reads. He mentioned at his podium at the combine how he goes, somebody asked him, like, you know, what do you think? Do you think you're at a disadvantage with, like, you're kind of the least mobile of these quarterbacks? And he was like, well, maybe I don't run, but my processing is my weapon. And I get to my second and third reads, and I know where to go to the backside and things like that. So I wonder if that weighs on Sean Payton, too, because he's the best one at getting through his full field reads, even amongst the top three guys, right?
Yeah.
So it It's Sean Payton's a hard one to read with this pick. This is one of the hardest picks in the draft. Because honestly, if you took a defensive player here, I wouldn't even kill it. They need a lot of help on defense.
They do. I do think they're gonna try to upgrade a quarterback in the draft. So that's why I'm gonna go quarterback here. I'm gonna go with Bo Nix actually as the pick because I think Sean Payton wants a guy that's going to run his system, and Russell Wilson is not a guy that really does that. I mean, he's a guy that freelances a lot, honestly, and I think that's kind of why it might have drove Sean Payton crazy last year. And I think Bo Nix, if he did anything in Oregon, it was run the system, man. He ran that system as well as almost any quarterback in the country. Didn't really deviate from the system too much. I think that Sean Payton's going to love that a lot. So a little high here for Bo Nix. I don't know if ultimately this is how high he will go, but if J.J. McCarthy's off the board and the top three quarterbacks are off the board already and Denver's still sticking here at 12, I mean, I think they're taking one of these two quarterbacks, and I think ultimately it probably will be Bo Nix.
Yeah. Yeah, I get that. And I think now you get to the Raiders at 13 and you go, well, there's one guy left. Now, I think I might go with this as just a matter of team fit more so. This might be a trade down spot, or it might be a thing where picking early in the second round and trading up. For the sake of not doing trades, I'm going to make this pick as far as team fit and just they could be a team. I think the Raiders could be an interesting team to sign Russell Wilson that 1 year deal for $1 million. Maybe even let him start in front of a younger quarterback for a year or let that process ride out. But the Raiders, it's not bare. Their defense was really good the second half of last year. Devontae Adams is there. Jacoby Myers is there. Michael Mayer. Zamir White probably could use another running back, left tackle. They need to figure out their offensive line. Right now, three of their offensive line starters are free agents. So that's a big thing they need to figure out in free agency. And they could even go offensive line here. But for the sake of team fit, maybe it's a trade down, maybe it's a trade up from the second round. I'm just going to get him on the team for now in some capacity and go with Penix at this spot.
Okay.
Maybe they sign Russell Wilson, they sit Penix for a bit or even a whole year, depending on how that goes. I'm a little, like, not worried, but like the right side of their offensive line, what are we doing here? You know, center, right guard, right tackle, all free agents. So Penix, much like I think the two guys in front of him, going to be a lot better, you know, with better pass protection. But I like the team fit a lot with the Raiders. I think he could succeed there.
Yeah, I like that a lot too. All right, I'm here with so we have six quarterbacks in the top 13 picks, man. Wow. That's probably a record, honestly. All right, so we got the Saints here at 14. This one's tough. I think they're going to go tackle here, but the problem is that Ryan Ramczyk is still a really good right tackle. And really, it's all on the board here is right tackles. We've got Talisa Fulaga's a right tackle, JC Latham's a right tackle, Marius Mims is a right tackle. A guy who's not. Who I think could ultimately be go this high in the draft is Troy Fatanu, honestly, who was, like I said, he was excellent at the combine. I don't love his tape as much as the other guys in this draft, but I do think his stock is rising, and this is not what I would do. It's what I think they will do. I think they need a left tackle. Obviously, the whole Trevor Penning thing has not worked out at all. It's been terrible, honestly. I think they would go Troy Fatanu here. I think they really hope that Olufashanu slips here to 14, but he's not here. So I think they're going to go with a left tackle, and that's probably going to be Troy Fatanu. So I'm going to take him at here at 14.
I kind of like that, and you mentioned Penning. I think there was some thoughts when he was drafted that he's at least athletic and aggressive enough that if they had to move him inside to guard, that they could do that. I think you could slide Penning inside and still get some use out of him, especially as a run blocker, and have Fautano as a better pass protection. They need pass protection. They have enough weapons to win. They have to be better up front for sure. I think a move of Penning to either guard spot and Fautano in there at left tackle would be that's a solid move. I think a pick in the trenches on either side is a necessity.
Yeah.
In New Orleans right now. Moving to the Colts. This gets interesting. They got some stuff. They need stuff on the outside.
I think there's an obvious pick here. I think there's a clear pick here. I wonder if you're going to do it. I'm going to wait and see what you're going to do first before I give it. But
I don't think I'm going to do it. I think this is a little bit like the Giants, where you mentioned they need stuff on the outside, on both sides of the ball. To me, the two spots are at receiver and at corner. I think it would be, if Bowers was sitting here, I think another good trade down spot because of how many receivers are going to go in the last 10 to 12 picks in the first round as well. I'm, for now, I think I like the system fit. They need help on the outside on both sides of the ball badly. I'm going to go Cooper DeJean here.
Oh,
in their defense. I think you mentioned to me the heaviest leaning zone coverage defense in football. That's the kind of system I want him in. I think Juju Brents on the other side showed some flashes last year, but I think DeJean in their defense could be a really, really nice player. Just as kind of just that zone, like laying back, same thing he did at Iowa. I think this is a good system fit for DeJean. Certain teams I wouldn't love him on, but I think the Colts are a good fit there, and they need a real number one corner, as well as, you know, they just franchised Pittman. They need more receivers, but their secondary does not look great right now, especially if they lose Kenny Moore. DeJean fits there for me.
Okay, I would take a Brock Bowers there, but I don't hate that pick either. I do love Cooper DeJean. But all right, here, man, this is tough because I'm between really two players here for the Seahawks at 16. I'm between Dallas Turner, who tested as a freak at the combine. But a great thing that Trevor Sekhma said in his last Stock Exchange episode, I think you guys have to check out, and he's talking about Xavier Worthy. We said this. He said, "Don't count the traits twice. We knew Xavier Worthy was fast. Just because he ran a 4.21 doesn't mean he should automatically be launching up draft boards." Dallas Turner, the same thing. It's like Dallas Turner, we knew he's a freak, dude. That was the biggest thing on his scouting report, was this guy's a freak athlete. He tested out as a freak athlete at the combine. You shouldn't be like, oh my God, I didn't know this guy's a freak athlete. Now he should be vaulting up boards. Dallas Turner's still a lot better of a prospect, I think, than Xavier Worthy, and he's just still going to be a top 20 pick. But I want people to not overreact to the combine. Like, for the guys that you didn't think were, like, example, Cooper Beebe, the main thing on his scouting report, main weakness, and why he was, you know, a day three prospect on a lot of big boards, was he's not that athletic. Goes out of the combine, he's a 94th percentile athlete for guards at the combine. Now, I think he's firmly a second round prospect, at least, because he proved he's still an elite athlete. So you combine that with his tape and you go, okay, now that question's out the door. He should still be a second round pick. Guys like Dallas Turner and Xavier Worthy, like, we knew this already about them. So you don't count it twice. I'm still considering him here at 16. But I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to take Jackson Powers Johnson, because I think the interior offensive line for Seattle is so bad. And Jackson Powers Johnson is a guy who could play center. He's the highest graded center in the country this past season. Also was an extremely good guard the year before. You see right there, 84.1 grade when he played guard for them the year before. I think he could play anywhere on that interior, and that is something that the Seahawks desperately need right now. So, yes, they need another edge to pair with Boye Mafe. But I think right here they probably go with JPJ to shore up that interior offensive line.
I can't hate that at all. And, you know, last night I was going through a lot of free agency needs for all 32 teams, and it amazed me how many teams needed interior offensive line help. It felt like maybe between 12 and 16 teams that needed it. I got nothing against this. I would go on the inside on offense or defense. It would be either JPJ or Byron Murphy for me with that pick.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I have zero issue with that pick. They can find another guard in free agency, fix a D-line maybe in free agency. I have no issue with that pick. This pick for me is a home run. This Jacksonville pick, I've been matching it up. Yep. just based on need. I'm taking Talisi Fuaga here. Mm-hmm. In Jacksonville. I either 31st or 32nd in run blocking last year. Fuaga is the best run blocker in the draft. If Fuaga fell to Jacksonville, that's a must, like, no question, have to take it, done deal.
Yeah,
they have to get this offensive line right in front of Trevor Lawrence. It's not even a question.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's a great pick. Eli, we're here. I don't think Eli's a mic, so I'm asking the message to be here. Eli, we kind of have we got Brock Bowers here available, obviously, but we also have a lot of great tackles available as well. So, Eli, you're going to make this pick for me. I want you to just click on the player that you want the Bengals to ultimately select here. That's what we're going to do. So, we've got Brock Bowers. We've got J.C. Latham. We've got Amarius Mims. We've got a lot of great tackles on the board, too. Eli goes, "This is my wet dream." I'm assuming.
Max,
yeah, he's taking Brock Bowers.
You already.
Yeah, we're taking Brock Bowers. Okay, good.
I would do the same thing. I'm with him. If this ever happened, you have to.
You can't not. I understand Amarius Mims literally looked like an alien at the combine. Did you see my tweet, not to brag, my tweet got like 1,000 likes because I tweeted out his shuttle time that the NFL posted. He ran like a 4.33, which, or something like that, which would have been the fastest shuttle time ever for an offensive tackle, tied with Jake Fisher, I believe. So I tweeted that out, like, this guy's at 3.40 doing this. That's insane. Yeah. Did you see that the NFL messed up and he never actually ran a shuttle? They just like posted it on the website for no reason.
No, because didn't he tweak his hammy running a 40?
Yeah, that's why I tweeted. I was like, dude, this guy tweaked his hammy and still ran a 4.33, and people were like, it exploded. We're like, oh my god! And the NFL
number
was like,
one
oh.
pick, yeah.
No. NFL was like, oh, actually, our bad. He actually never ran it, so I didn't take it down because it, you know, because it did so well the tweet. But I was like, oh, that sucks. I was like, dude, what the fuck? Why would you? I don't know. I just thought it was so funny that they're like, they put up this record-breaking time that people were going nuts over. Because the shuttle is not broadcasted on TV. It's like something that just comes out later. So I saw it when I was checking the website. I was like, oh my god, I gotta get this out. And yeah, it's like, oh, actually, our bad. We just inputted that wrong. He never actually ran a shuttle. So still a freak, still a freak athlete, but
an absolute freak.
Just not a all-time athlete as we might have thought.
No, he's I tell you what, he's a first round pick though. I don't know if he'll go at this spot at 19 with the Rams. This, two things for the Rams here. This would really, if the board is like it is now for the Rams, that they got a lot of options, man. I don't think they can get this one wrong. There's two ways they could go. You could go offensive line or you could go secondary. Part of this might be what they do in free agency. They do have a lot of young kids on defense. This is a hard one because not so much because they can get it wrong. It's really because they can't. I'm between two guys.
Who are the two?
I'm between, if I go defense, it's Tarion Arnold, mm-hmm. or offense, it's J.C. Latham.
Yeah, that makes sense.
It's one way or the other, I'm going to Alabama.
I think Mims is going above Latham at this point.
Well, right? I wouldn't guarantee that. There was a lot of talk about how deep this tackle class is.
Oh, I agree. I think Mims kind of separated.
There's GMs out there that love both of these guys. I'm going to go with the bigger need, and maybe they re-sign a Kevin Dotson or figure out something in free agency on the O-line. I'm going to go with Arnold. Give me Tarion Arnold.
Damn it.
I think the Rams were... I think they had the lowest coverage grade in the league last year.
Yeah.
Their front seven played well, but they need a lot of help on the back end. And now with Raheem Morris leaving, new defensive coordinator, and they're promoted from within, they need help on the back end. And Arnold would immediately step in there as their best corner.
Damn it. That was my pick for the Steelers here at 20. Oh, damn. Okay. So Steelers here at 20. That was a good pick. I'm going to go with the other corner I was thinking about for the Steelers, and that is Nate Wiggins. I think Nate Wiggins tested as a freak athlete. Now, I will say, the fact that he weighed in at, what, 173 pounds, I think he came in at the combine, that's not big enough, man. Got to put on some weight. Still a freak athlete. I think he ran somewhere in the 4.2s, 4.3. I think it was 4.29 officially, right? They ran something like that.
4.28?
Something like that, yeah. High 4.2s. Freak athlete, just very skinny corner. Got to put on weight, but I do think that athleticism will translate, and I think Steelers really need help in the secondary. I would have gone Tarion Arnold here because I do think Arnold's going to go higher than Nate Wiggins, but here at 20 with him on the board, I would personally I would take Kool-Aid McKinstry, and I know Sam Monson is very against that, but here at 20, I think what actually will happen if the board is like this, I think Nate Wiggins is probably the pick for the Steelers here.
Yeah. There's several picks here that make sense. I would probably lean in on offensive line, Latham or a Mims, and move Jones back over to the left side and get the offensive line right.
I don't hate that either.
I don't think they can succeed until they fix this offensive line. It's just not. Broderick Jones is decent. They just cut their starting center. They need so bad, no matter who the quarterback is, honestly. I don't even care who the quarterback is. They have to fix this up front. For me, I would go offensive line here, but I get it, Wiggins and Porter, and I think they still have one more year at Patrick Peterson.
Yeah.
I can't hate that either. You know the Steelers like to build on defense. Where am I at? I'm at Miami.
Dude, there's a lot of guys that are on the board that I do not think will be on the board here on draft night. I'm kind of surprised we haven't taken yet.
Well, it's all decisions, right? It's what these teams feel their needs are. This is what happens when six quarterbacks go in the top 13, if that was a thing.
Yeah.
Or, I mean, we've had a lot of the last six or seven teams who could really go two different ways. You know, the Bengals could have easily taken a Byron Murphy and ran with it, right? DJ Reader's a free agent. Not sure if they're bringing him back. I think they should. I love Reader, but you know, this is a weird one. I mean, Dallas Turner is still sitting here. Man, oh man, I've told you this whole time, there's going to be really, really good players that drop into these spots, and it's going to start getting weird. This is a weird one because the Dolphins need interior, I believe, a lot more than they need tackles.
Yeah, but isn't Armstead's going to retire soon, right? I mean, that guy's beat up. I would lean tackle here. I think they're going to go Mims or Latham, honestly, if this is the board. Also keep in mind, Christian Wilkins is going to be a free agent. They did not tag him, and they might not bring him back.
This is what I was just thinking about. Yeah. Is that they? And I'm not sure. There's talk about restructures and different things, and I really do need offensive line, but I need interior offensive line, and there's none of that really sitting here, unless I were to reach down for Zach Frazier.
I wouldn't love that.
Let's do that suggestion for the fun of it, though. Let's get Byron Murphy into Miami.
Yeah.
Here. Let's say Christian Wilkins walks because I think he's going to get a bag, and I'm not sure the Dolphins can necessarily afford that. Let's just get his replacement right in there. They're set on the edges. Probably could use a little more help in the secondary too. A corner wouldn't be a bad pick, but let's go with Murphy and just the value there of being, I believe it was the 9th ranked player just now on our board and getting him at 21. I'm not gonna hate that. They need some things in the trenches on both sides.
Yeah. Absolutely, yeah. Another athletic guy, and we know how much the Miami loves athleticism. So, yeah, I think that's a great pick. I think it's if he's available there, especially if Wilkins walks. I think that's kind of the assumption we're going with here is that Wilkins will walk. So they do have some good depth on the interior D line, but if he walks, especially, I mean that's a pick I think they go with there. This one's a home run for me too. I'm a little lower on this guy too, but I think he's gonna go high. I mean, he tested out amazingly at the combine. I think Brian Thomas Jr. would be a guy that the Eagles would really like here and pair him with A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith. And I think that's probably what they would do if he was available here and probably what I would do too, honestly, at 22.
Yeah, I agree. I'd get Devontae Smith in the slot full time.
Right.
And he'll start just – that's just lethal. I agree with that totally. I have no issue with that. I would have loved Thomas for the Cowboys too. But, yeah, Philly and Brian Thomas, I think that's a perfect fit. Absolutely. A vertical threat. Get Smith in the slot. You have a third guy in there to just kind of complete the whole thing along with the rest of it. I like that a lot. Where am I at? I'm at Houston with 23.
Pair Anderson and Turner back together?
I think so, actually. That's where I was leaning. I think so. Let's go Alabama off the edge for the second year in a row. Dallas Turner. Freak combine, really good season. There's some thought that he's actually edge one. It's a little surprising we took this long to get to him, but I think it just speaks to how many really darn good players are in this draft that Dallas Turner has slid down to 23, and it kind of makes sense. Another curious one I'll see in free agency. I wouldn't mind the Texans making a run at a Danielle Hunter, something like that off the edge, at which point makes somebody like Jerzon Newton available, like if they want help on the inside or even with Latham at offensive line. But I think Dallas Turner here is too good a value to pass up, and pair him with Anderson would be nasty.
It would be nasty, absolutely. This one's a pretty easy pick for me too, especially after they cut Tyron Smith. I'm taking Amarius Mims here to the Cowboys. I don't think he's lasting at 24 on draft night. I actually think there's a chance he's the second. He might be the second tackle off the board, honestly. I've heard a lot of talk about him just launching up big up draft boards, which I don't think I would necessarily agree with, but I would not be surprised if he goes above Fuaga, above Olufoshanu. I would not be surprised. I think Joe Alt's the only one that I think will definitely go over Amarius Mims, but I would not be surprised. There's a lot of guys at OT2. I wouldn't be surprised if Trey Fontenot would be OT2. Honestly, I think there's a lot of guys that could be the second tackle taken in the draft. But Amarius Mims, I don't think will last this long. But I think here at the Cowboys, take him here. You lose Tyron Smith, obviously. I think he's the guy they probably go with here at 24.
Yeah, several thoughts you could have had there. I think Newton could have been a thought.
Yeah.
I think another receiver could have been a thought for sure, especially an Adonai Mitchell or a Troy Franklin. I think there's definitely some different ways. The only question with a tackle, does that mean they leave Tyler Smith on the inside? Does Terrence Steele move inside or out of there? I think there's some maneuvering that might have to be done if they take a tackle, or can Mims just play left tackle straight up? There's a little maneuvering, but I can't hate it. I mean, losing Tyron Smith, that's a big, big loss. Probably a future Hall of Famer, right?
Yeah. Absolutely.
All right, so let me get you. You Green took Bay. Mims, right? Yes,
yeah,
you
took Mims. Yeah.
Okay. Green Bay. When did Tyler Newbin move this high up on our board?
I saw that, dude. So actually, I think I don't want to speak for Trevor here, but I think our mock draft simulator board is becoming what the consensus board is. So it would give you a more realistic draft experience. Our big board is what Trevor thinks. This board actually might be now. I know they're going to make it. I don't know if they've done it already. This board might be what the consensus board is to make it more realistic. You know, Trevor's much higher on some guys that a lot of people aren't, and Trevor's much lower on some guys a lot of people aren't. So I think this, the mock draft simulator board, is more realistic to what I think the consensus media, everyone feels about these guys, I think, is what they're trying to do, I think, which I think is pretty cool.
It is. Newbin would be a thought. The only thing is, like, Jeff Hafley's system is a lot different than kind of the too high stuff they ran at Minnesota. Now, if they feel Newbin's got the ability to do it, to play the kind of that center field role, I wouldn't mind seeing them sign a Xavier McKinney or Geno Stone. They only have one safety currently signed for 2024 on their roster. So yeah. they need safeties like we need oxygen. But let's do this. Let's get a guy who's been rising up the boards, looked pretty good at the combine, and you know, if there's one thing that the Packers suddenly are kind of loaded on offense, but if there's one thing they kind of need, it's help on the inside. I'm going to make a fun little move here and go with Zach Frazier for the Packers.
Okay.
Inside. If they want him at center or guard, he's rumored to have some versatility in the air. He's kind of rugged. Seems like kind of a cold weather player. Let's go with Frazier. It's the one spot where their offense kind of has, I don't want to say a hole, but like, John Runyon's a free agent. They're not great on the inside right now. Let's get Frazier to help them out on the inside.
Love that. Love that a lot. All right. Bucks here at 26. This is another pick I'm kind of I've been circling for them. I think Laiatu has to go in the first round. I'm taking him here at 26. They need a lot of stuff, but I don't think Cooley is going to go first round at this point, which I do not agree with. And then there's a lot of, you know, they need, as you can see, the team needs running back. No tight end. There's no one after Bowers. I would take first round. No one really left in the interior. I would take here either. No linebacker. Maybe Peyton Wilson, but I think that's kind of a reach. And in the corner class, we kind of took a lot of the top corners already. So right here, I think Laiatu. Probably the best player in college football this past year, 96.3 grade. Actually had a really solid combine. I think he tested out in like the 86th percentile or something like that for edge defender. So better athlete than even we thought he could be. I love this pick. I think he's going to be a great player. He honestly still might be my number one edge in this draft. So getting him here at 26, I think, for a team that could use another edge defender, is a pretty home run pick for the Bucks.
Yeah, I agree. I think the Bucks need to take talent. They need talent at a lot of different spots, interior of the line, defensive line. I believe that they have already, or they're going to cut Shaq Barrett. Probably could use some help in the secondary, maybe even another receiver. There's a lot of different ways these things could go. The Bucks are tied up against the cap, might have some issues having to cut some big name guys, maybe a Chris Godwin, maybe a Carlton Davis. Mm-hmm. But if I'm them, I think they're in a spot. Just take the best player on the board, and I think the best player on the board is Laiatu.
Yeah.
This just got fun for the sake of value, because for a long time I've thought like, oh, okay, the Cardinals go Harrison first and then a defensive player second. I cannot ignore the fact that J.C. Latham is still on the board.
I was going to say that too. Yeah.
I would leave Latham on the right side, and I would move Paris Johnson back over to the left side where he played in college. I would, if I could pair up Paris Johnson and J.C. Latham on the same offensive line, I'm doing it. I'm going with it. I think. You know, they'll probably then focus on defense thereafter in the second round and beyond, but I cannot ignore the fact that he's still on the board at all here. I think this is probably some sort of dream scenario here. I'm not sure the way some of the GMs talked about Latham that he could possibly drop this far, but if he did, the Cardinals have to jump all, they just seal up your offensive line now. Why not?
Yeah, I agree with that. I think the only other guys I would have considered here, but I think Latham will go above him, so I think he made the right call here. But I think Johnny Newton is an option for them there. They need some help in the interior D line, and we obviously love him. And also, I actually think he moved up big boards. He didn't work out at the combine, but I think his podium might have moved him back into the first-round conversation, honestly, man, which I love. And I think the other one who I don't think will go first round, unfortunately, but I would take him, is Kool-Aid McKinstry. I think they need a corner. Kool-Aid's a guy, again, I might have Kool-Aid CB1, honestly, but I don't think he's going to go first round. So I think you made the right call in terms of like what you think will happen in J.C. Latham, but I do think there's a couple other spots that I would have liked to see personally as well. 28 here, the Buffalo Bills. Another pretty easy pick. Again, I probably wouldn't make this pick if I were the GM, but this is what I think will happen. Adonai Mitchell is launching up big boards right now, and I think he will be going in the first round. He had an unbelievable combine. 6'2", 205, something like that. He ran like a 4.3. His vertical was unbelievable. His broad jump was unbelievable. This guy's going to be a first-round pick now after that combine. So he and Xavier Worthy might both be first-round picks because of their combines, but right now I'm more confident in Adonai Mitchell being taken before Xavier Worthy. So maybe Xavier Worthy still sneaks in. There's a couple more teams that we could put him in here at the end of this first round, but I feel pretty confident about Adonai Mitchell. Also, I think he's a pretty good replacement for Gabe Davis, too, who's probably going to be on his way out in Buffalo. So I feel pretty good about this pick here for the Bills.
That's absolutely what I would do. Absolutely. Yeah. They need to fill that role. There's one big hole on their offense right now. It's that second spot on the outside. I love Shakir on the inside.
I think Diggs
is still sticking around despite all the rumors always surrounding him and all that. I think that's the perfect pick for them, honestly. And I wouldn't even hate Troy Franklin there either. But Mitchell had a little bit better of a combine. I'm not going to hate either one of those guys. I would absolutely go receiver there if I'm the Bills.
Before you make this pick at 29, can I tell you another thing that came out recently that might influence you here? Did you see?
I think I know where you're going with this, but go ahead.
Did you see the Johnny Newton quote?
Oh, no. What?
He said, they asked him about the Lions, and he goes, I fuck with them, and they fuck with me. That's what he said. I don't know. Is that the pick here?
Well, I'll tell you what. We were talking about this at the combine, and the other thing I thought what you were going to say is the L'Jarius Sneed thing. There's supposedly seven teams in on L'Jarius Sneed right now, and the Lions are one of them. And if I was them, that's actually a trade I would make. I would send a second round pick over for Sneed, and have the corner spot at least more secure with him, as opposed to maybe going with a rookie. We talked about it at the combine. Aiden Hutchinson, Aleem McNeil, James Houston, Johnny Newton as your front four. Mm-hmm. Let's do it here, because this is something we were talking about like a week ago. That's a nasty, nasty front four. If they can fill out the rest, in the secondary and free agency, or a trade for Sneed, I think would be for me, that would be my number one team for him, for L'Jarius Sneed. Mm-hmm. Use a second round pick on that. Use a first rounder. I know they want more D-line help. A front four late in games, again, Hutchinson, Newton, McNeil, Houston. I don't know who's blocking that. I have no idea who's blocking that. I think that would work really, really well. There's been talk with them about Zach Frazier also, but we have him off the board. I think Newton would be a really good, fun fit on that front four. That would look a lot like some of those 49er front fours that we've seen.
And we know he aced that interview. We know.
Oh, he's great.
We knew he aced it. And the fact that he came up, I mean, dude, he's dropping F-bombs all over the place in this media tour. I mean, did the fuck yeah when he saw us. I fuck with them, they fuck with me with the Lions. I love it, dude. Johnny Newton. I think Dan Campbell will be pounding the table for Johnny Newton to get him in that room, honestly. I think he'd fit really well in that locker room, too. And I know PJ, we both know PJ. Now PJ works for the Lions. He would love Johnny Newton to work with him, too. So I think that is a home run pick for the Lions. And we actually know that Johnny loves the Lions, and the Lions love Johnny. So we know that this is actually a good predictive one, too, because we know they are very interested, mutual interest there between the two of them. All right, the Ravens here at 30. Interesting spot here for Baltimore. Now, they got Matt Ibrike. They just tagged him. So I don't think, obviously, Johnny Newton's off the board now, and so is Byron Murphy. So I don't really think that's really an option anymore at D-tackle. I think there's really two ways you can go here. It's at receiver, and it's at corner. Man, this is tough. I would, again, I'm going to harp on this until draft day. I would take Kool-Aid McKinstry. I would take this guy probably top 15 in the freaking draft. Will he go that higher? No. Will he go at 30? Probably not either. I don't know, man. I would take Kool-Aid and not even think twice about it if I'm the Ravens, but I don't know if that's what they're going to do, honestly. I think they might lean Troy Franklin or Ladd McConkey even. Oh, man, this is tough. Or even Xavier Worthy. I mean, man,
I wonder what if in this scenario what the influence is there with Mike Bobo with McConkey, but if that familiarity matters at all.
That's not a bad call.
Not Mike Bobo, I'm sorry, Todd Monken.
Yeah, Todd Monken.
Bobo's at Georgia now. Todd Monken from Georgia, not Bobo. Bobo's at Georgia.
I know what you're saying. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Is Marlon Humphrey out of there too? Aren't they trying to move on from him? I've heard rumblings about that. I could be wrong.
I know there's rumblings because he's expensive. That's for sure. I personally, I would go I'm not sure which one necessarily. There's a little bit different flavor on each of them, but I would go receiver here. I think it's the one thing they're missing between them and a Super Bowl trophy.
Yeah, that's a good call. And plus you want to – I mean, Lamar just won MVP. You want to, you know, surround him with as much talent as you possibly can. That's a good call. What I would do is Kool-Aid McKinstry and not think twice about it, but I think you made the right call there where you got to go receiver. So between – I'm not taking Xavier Worthy here. I'm going to go with – I don't hate the Todd Monken call with Ladd McConkey, but I do think Troy Franklin is going to go higher than Ladd McConkey. We'll go higher than Ladd McConkey, so I'm going to go Troy Franklin here. But I do like that connection with Todd Monken, though. I think that might play a part on draft night ultimately, so I don't hate that shout-out either.
Yeah. No, I get it. So we got San Fran now at 31. I think it's actually pretty obvious. It's something, right? I think we did. It's a link that's starting to be made because of versatility and things. Yep. And the Niners, I've said it, they need help in the trenches. I think Graham Barton's an easy pick here for San Fran. He's got versatility. You know, some people think he's a guard, some think he's a center, some think he could probably still be a tackle, maybe if he's a right tackle, but any which way, the 49ers need offensive linemen. Again, Brock Purdy pressured nearly half the time in the Super Bowl. Their pass protection, I believe, finished 24th or 25th in pass blocking grade. They just need to get better up front. I think Graham Barton's a versatile guy who makes them better up front. I think if he's there, it's a reasonably easy pick. I think like a Johnny Newton would be a thought here. I think a corner, maybe Kool-Aid, although I don't love the system fit, would be a thought. To even TJ Tampa, maybe, but I think a Graham Barton and help on the offensive line is the biggest thing here for the Niners. They have to keep it rolling in the trenches.
Yeah, that's a pick. I think it's a home run pick too. I think that's a pick that they're really circling on their big board right now. I think he's a guy, honestly, out of any offensive lineman in this class, I mean, there's a lot of better ones that you could argue for, but I mean, for the 49ers specifically that need help everywhere, he's so valuable to them because he mentioned it. He played center initially for Duke, and he was pretty good there. So it stands to reason he could play guard at a high level too. And they obviously use a great left tackle for Duke these past couple of years. So I think that's a great pick for San Francisco specifically. And I think that's an offensive line that they'll really be high on in this draft. All right, 32 here, the Chiefs. I'm going with a receiver here. Now, I'm higher on Ladd McConkey, but what I think is going to happen is I think Xavier Worthy is going in the first round. So I'm taking Xavier Worthy here. And I think Andy Reid is going to be very excited about the prospect of getting a 4-2-140 in an offense with Patrick Mahomes' arm. Now, I will also say, Chiefs receivers, what's their big issue? Drops. What is Xavier Worthy's big issue? Drops. So I don't love that. But I do think that they're going to love the idea of his speed in that offense. And I don't think I would do it here. I think he's firmly a second-round player. And I think Trevor Sikma, like I said before, said it best, where it's like, don't count his speed twice. But I think he's going to go first round here. And I think the idea of Mahomes' deep ball getting another heavy air quotes here, Tyreek Hill in that offense, that's the idea here they're going to go with. I probably wouldn't do it here, especially with his drop issues and how badly they struggled with drops last year, but I think that's probably the a guy that they're really going to be high on in this draft.
Yeah, no, I'll be honest with you. Look, I like Worthy, and I think it reminds me a lot of back in the days of that legendary 2014 receiver class when Brandon Cooks went in the second round. I think that's a more reasonable comp. I would go McConkey here, easy. I think the way their offense has kind of morphed into this like surgical, like route running kind of special, you know, especially with Rashee Rice out. And look, Ladd McConkey's not slow either. He went out there and ran, I believe, a 4.38.
Yeah, he's fast.
At his size, no, McConkey, I think that's getting slept on too, how good a combine he had. I think I would slam dunk McConkey at 32 to the Chiefs. I think him and Rice and Kelsey and Pacheco and all. I think he would. He's a better route runner than Worthy, and I think Andy Reid's always valued route runners. And look, Tyreek Hill was a fifth round pick that wound up being special. But at any time Reid's drafted a receiver, he wants route running, and they always say it might be the hardest system for receivers to learn. I think McConkey's versatility, his route running, and even the speed downfield to sneak right by you. That's the pick for me. But I get what you're going for with. Okay, let's open this thing up.
Yeah.
MVS, our fastest guy, is a free agent now. You know, they had to cut him for salary cap stuff. Do you need a vertical threat? Absolutely, but they've won the last two Super Bowls without a guy like that. So I think I would be going with McConkey for the fit, but I get the idea. There's always somebody with a 40 time that that goes maybe higher than they were gonna before the combine, right?
Yeah, exactly. That's again, I also would lead McConkey heavily here, but I do think Worthy is gonna sneak into the first round, even though I don't agree with it. And I think KC would be open to that idea of getting Xavier Worthy, especially with a guy like Rashee Rice, who works so well underneath. Travis Kelce obviously works really well underneath. And I think you get a guy over the top in Xavier Worthy. Ladd McConkey can also go over the top too, but I think you think of Xavier Worthy as your new deep threat. I think that's kind of what they would do. But I think Ladd McConkey is also a very good player to consider there at 32. All right, as quickly for the audio-only listeners, let's quickly go over what we did in the first round. So the Bears took Caleb Williams. Commanders took Drake May. Patriots took Jaden Daniels. Cardinals took Marvin Harrison Jr. Chargers took Malik Nabers. Roma Dunze at 6 to the Giants. Joe Alt to the Titans. Quinyon Mitchell to the Falcons at 8. Jared Verse to the Bears at 9. Olufoshanu to the Jets at 10. JJ McCarthy to the Vikings at 11. Bo Nix to the Broncos at 12. Michael Penix Jr. to the Raiders at 13. Troy Fontenot, the tackle from Washington, to the Saints at 14. Cooper DeJean to the Colts at 15. JPJ, Jackson Powers Johnson, to the Seahawks at 16. Talisa Fuaga to the Jaguars at 17. Brock Bowers to the Bengals at 18. Terron Arnold to the Rams at 19. Nate Wiggins to the Steelers at 20. Byron Murphy to the Dolphins at 21. Brian Thomas Jr. to the Eagles at 22. Dallas Turner to the Texans at 23. Amarius Mims to the Cowboys at 24. Zach Frazier at 25 to the Packers. Latu Latu to the Buccaneers at 26. J.C. Latham to the Cardinals at 27. Adonai Mitchell to the Bills at 28. Johnny Newton to the Lions at 29. Troy Franklin to the Ravens at 30. Graham Barton at 31 of the 49ers. And Xavier Worthy rounding out the first round at 32 to the Chiefs. I just realized, Dalton, we had quarterbacks go 1, 2, 3, and then quarterbacks go 11, 12, 13, too. I'm really excited to see how this quarterback class turns out, man. And obviously, free agency is going to play a huge part into what our next mock draft looks like, which will only be probably in a couple weeks, our next mock draft. But yeah, man, it's going to be really. I think free agency, I'm always excited about free agency because you finally know, okay, this team needs this. Now we know they need this. Whereas right now, it's kind of open as to what they might need. I'm excited for our mock draft in a couple weeks because we might be like, all right, this team is definitely taking this position probably in the NFL draft.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And I think as far as the quarterbacks go, I think. I'm kind of slotting in team fits there a little bit, but there's going to be a lot of movement. I mean, draft night trades are the most unpredictable part of all of it. There could be even a team we're not talking about at all trading up to get a certain guy, or it's going to be this draft, especially with so much talent, might be the hardest draft to predict maybe ever. Because I'm still, you know me, I'm still not even 100% sold on the number one pick. So the rest of it only gets harder to predict from there. To be honest,
crazy. You're crazy. You're crazy. All right, so we actually, Dalton, we usually, we had obviously a big interview on Monday with Ashton Jinty. We have some big interviews coming up as well, man. We got a couple more interviews tomorrow. We're not going to spoil them real quick, but one of them is a coach, a big-time coach, and one of them is a big-time NFL draft prospect. So not a guy who's coming back to college, but actually one of the top one of the top 40 players on PFF's big board right now. So we're excited to fully get into interview season with you guys, man. Jinty was awesome. I had such a great time with him.
Spectacular. Oh my, he was so good. Just to hear him, especially talk about just the position and all the things he can do, and just so embraces. I think my favorite part, he just embraces the all-purpose thing, right? Yep. When we think about Alvin Kamara and Jahmyr Gibbs and those guys, he was so good. Please give that a watch. He was unbelievably just so cool and so open about really everything we asked him.
Dude, yeah, he was super awesome guy, and it even helps that, man, he's a superstar running back too. Like, he is going to be one of the top running backs in college football next year, and one of the top running backs probably in the 2025 NFL draft too, because of how good a receiver he is, as well as a runner too. So big time interviews coming up very soon. Then we got more on the way as well. But yeah, so we got for our post combine NFL mock draft. So for producer Eli back there in the studio, for Dalton Wasserman, I'm Max Chadwick. We'll see you guys next time.